Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 27 and 28, God's providence gives confidence. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, here is an undeniable truth. Too many people in the West, with all our knowledge and power and wealth, think the doctrine of God's providence is disgusting, even repulsive. You think, why? Why do they find God's doctrine, providence, repulsive? Well, this doctrine that God controls every thought and every action is abhorrent to many because it destroys the supremacy of man. It is not therefore a surprise that man will diligently try in this post-Christian era to kill God, or at least to declare him dead, or to declare him non-existent. That is not accidental. That's on purpose. This rejection of God's providence and adoption of the supremacy of man got its revival in the 1700s with the French people, where they were upset with their wicked leaders, and they were very wicked leaders, but they end up at the same time rejecting not just their king, but the King of Heaven. And it became, you were able to do what you wanted. You were free to do what you wanted. And in many ways, this has been revived again in the 20th century in the United States with the advocacy or the beginning or the promotion of something called democracy. And what is democracy? It's the rule by man. It's the same thing like what the French had. Men were supposed to be enlightened, because that's the root of this French Enlightenment. But they weren't really enlightened. They just turned away from some corruption, but they embraced a whole bunch of other corruption. Democracy means the people are God. It's a rejection of God's rule. And you notice all the other things that changed. Democratically, we say we should kill babies. And so we kill 110,000 in Canada every year, 1.5 million in the U.S. every year. It was democracy. Democracy is we don't have to have marriages the way God said. We can legalize wickedness. It was all democracy. That's the superiority of man. But Christians understand the doctrine of God's providence. They understand that God is the one who is ruling. And when this doctrine is properly explained, understood, and applied, it brings so many blessings to us. So give attention to God's word as we look at it today. Our headings are two, an explanation of the doctrine of providence, and second, an application of the doctrine of providence. Our goals are that upon properly understanding that God rules and controls every creature and every action, you will stop worrying about what you can control, the supremacy of man. Rather, you will worship God better, and you will teach this to your children, so they will trust in God and rest in His providential care and enjoy His benefits. First, an explanation of providence. Question, what do you understand by the providence of God? Together, providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which He upholds, as with His hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things in fact come to us not by chance, but from His fatherly hand. Now, one dictionary defines providence as the guardianship and control exercised by a deity. That's wrong. It's not by a deity, but by the deity. Only Christians understand who this true God is. This is Jehovah God, not the pagan gods that don't exist, but the true and living God. Providence is Jehovah's God, ever-present power, by which he keeps and controls all things and all people. If it's got to be, it's up to me, that's pagan. But you know who made that phrase popular? A preacher. He was emphasizing man's ability, which he shouldn't be. If it's got to be, it's up to me. He knows better now. So when there's a spread of COVID-19 around the world, it may be that God is sick of man's arrogance and wants to teach him humility. See, you can have troubles as well. That's also from God's hand. But he's still in control. The world is not spinning out of control. COVID is not beyond God. He could stop it today, everywhere. But he's got a reason. The Bible says he controls all things. When you don't get the job you want and you're upset, oh, I plan on getting that job and it's taken away from me. Well, maybe you'll find out down the road that the company folded. Or it may be that God will give you a better job and you think, oh, I'm glad I didn't get that one. That's how God's sovereignty works. I remember talking about this some time ago when we were in PEI and we got stopped and missed, I think it was a stoplight, a stop sign. You had to stop, and just ahead where we probably would have been, we just saw two cars crash, nasty crash. And you think, wow, you don't mind that stoplight anymore, did you? It seemed like a hindrance, and yet the Lord took care of us that way. When you don't get the guy or the gal you want to marry, you might find out later that that one was not a Christian, and you were saved. Even though you lost, it seemed that way, you actually won, because that's how God works. When you fail your exam, or maybe you have to repeat a class, you might be thankful that God moved you into a newer career. It might seem like a loss, but God moves you into something else, because God controls everything. Now, because God controls all things and all people, this is number two, nothing spins off into space or into some meaningless direction. The world doesn't say, well, I'm not going to turn around today. Or I've been around that sun too many times. I'm not going. No, God controls that. Nothing goes out of control. No one escapes God's eyes and God's hands. You know, when the truck loses a wheel, where that wheel lands, God controls it. It may be that somebody's killed, or it may be it goes off and you want to know, how did that narrowly avoid you on the road? God has a purpose behind that. Consider what Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 and 24 together. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth? In other words, I'm everywhere. I see everything. Nothing is missing. I know what's going on in your life. I know the troubles. I know the joys. I know. And President Biden and Prime Minister Trudeau, they aren't independent of God's providence either, though they may act like it and think that it's up to them. When God wishes, he raises up one. When God wishes, he brings him down. Remember what happened to some of the great leaders? What he did to Nebuchadnezzar? How he made him eat grass like wild animals for years? That's what God can do. And by the way, those years when he was eating wild grass and living like wild animals, they blotted that out. They left blank on the history wall for the Babylonian kings. Showed him who was in charge. And you should read what Nebuchadnezzar wrote after he came back to his senses when he praised the sovereign God of heaven. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1 says, together, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. So, scientists might announce, we found this new thing. We found this new genome, and we learned the structure of the human genes, and therefore we can do all of these things. And you want to say, yeah, what brilliant scientists, but what are they doing? They're just discovering what God had already put in place. God wasn't surprised and said, oh man, thank you for helping me out. He knew all along. He made it there. Remember how he used to say the earth was flat? Remember how they used to think the earth was solid and resting on Atlas's shoulders? Well, the earth didn't start to go around the sun when man discovered it. It was going around the sun when God made it and said, go. Uranium didn't become explosive when man started making bombs. They didn't have, it had those properties long before God made it that way. God even moves the heart of the wicked. He told Cyrus, and remember, Cyrus was a tyrant. Cyrus was the head of the Medo-Persian Empire. They conquered the Babylonian Empire, and God went to Cyrus one night and said, okay, sorry, Cyrus, and said, send the people back home. Take them back, and here's what you will do. And he did. He's giving up all these slaves he had, these free laborers, because God said so. Number three, even the tiniest things are in God's control, in our sovereign God's control, and he has a purpose behind it. We don't always know, but he's got a purpose. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 and 30 says, together, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Do you know how many hairs fall from your head every day? If you have hair, that is. If you don't, you don't have a problem. But do you know how many fall? You don't even know. God does. And each one has a number. That's how much control he has. You know how many cells fall from your body every day? You don't know. God does. That's how much he knows. No one can move a finger or a thought without your Father's providential control. Look at Job, what he said in Job chapter 1, verse 12, together. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. You realize what God was saying? You can't touch him. When I say you can touch him, then you can touch him. But now, no. You don't think Satan would have liked to crush Job earlier? You know, God has a purpose for every drop of rain. And maybe the application on Wednesday, every snowflake that falls, he's got a purpose behind it. You don't know where it's going to land, what it's going to water, but God does. That's the kind of detail you have. There's a purpose behind this provision. Number four, God rules by his providence using various methods. So we're looking at all the different aspects of providence here, what it is. And he can use different methods of accomplishing that. He may use people. He may use things. And he may work by miracles if he is pleased. He can avoid human means altogether. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 24 says, together, they do not say in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, who gives rain both the former and the latter in its season. He reserves for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. It's God who tells you when you can harvest and when you can't. He will send the rain and say, no, you can't do anything today. He'll send the sunshine and say, I want you to go out. There's work to be done. And God may even use what appears to be chance, but really is not. It might seem like just a happen, a fate, luck, but it's not. It's God's word. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, you see that reminder. But look at Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. Together, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. We can use that today and say, you know, the dice you play a game with, what number will turn up? You don't know. God does. You know, he determines which number turns up. That's the control God has, even for small things, and he will use whatever method he wishes to accomplish that. Five, consider one of the peculiar ways in which God works providentially. Sometimes a man may not have done something bad, but still God ordains some troubles for him. Remember Psalm 73, Asaph's frustration. He's saying, I'm serving you and look at the trouble I'm in. And the bad man, he's being wicked, and look, he seems to be fine. He dies in quiet and peace, and his children are happy, and he's prosperous. His business is good. See, the Bible doesn't teach karma. The Bible doesn't teach karma. That's what we like to believe. If you do good, good will come to you. No, sometimes if you're good, bad will come to you. Bad things will happen. And sometimes the bad people may seem like good things are happening to them. John chapter 9, verse 1 and 1 through 3. This is when the disciples were having some trouble understanding why someone was demon-possessed. Let's read verse 1 together. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, this is the episode of the blind man. There's another one with the demons, when he couldn't cast out the demons. But when you see someone being blind, we've had a couple of friends who come here who are blind. And you know, one of the things one of those men have said to me some time ago, he said, you know, I'm so thankful I'm blind so I could see. The Lord in his goodness had them blind, allowed them to be blinded, but they could see the light of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we don't always understand why it works out this way. But don't be surprised if you have troubles in your life. Someone can get sick. Someone can die young. Teach your children about that, that they will know. Maybe God will call them home early. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And six, so while God may do this, and sometimes things don't happen the way you think and doesn't seem right or fair, there's generally a predictability with how God will work. And I'll give you a few examples. If you don't strengthen your immune system, you would likely get sick and not easily fight off diseases. Can God heal you if you don't take care of your immune system? Yes, he can, but normally he wouldn't. He lets you suffer because of your sin. If you eat and you don't work and you don't exercise, you'll probably gain weight. It may be that you will be like Tim and Enoch, and you could eat and you're fine. But that is not normally how it works, does it? Normally you eat a lot, you gain weight. That's normal way providence works. If you don't take your medicines, you'll probably get sicker. Can God make you better without the medicines? Yes. Does he usually do so? No. If you're sick, there are medicines that you must take. It really doesn't matter what those fake preachers on television will tell you. Just come and we'll heal you. And, of course, they're very hidden right now. None of these faith healers go to the hospitals to help us out in this COVID problem. But you take medicines when you're sick. That's the way God normally works. There are a number of churches, in fact, quite thousands of people in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains where they play with snakes, because the Bible says you will hold a serpent and they won't kill you. Well, guess what? That wasn't saying you should play with snakes in church. If you do, you'll probably be bitten. Quite a few of them have died being bitten in church while playing with poisonous snakes. That's the normal way providence works. If you're lazy and you don't fix the hole in your roof, you will get rain or snow. Can God stop the snow from falling? Yeah. Does he normally do that? No. You can be sure the snow will come. That's the predictability. So that's really a description now, those six things about providence. Let's look at how we have to apply it now. Question 28, how does this knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? Together, We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future we can have confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from His love. All creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will they can neither move nor be moved. Now, because God is your Father, who providentially rules over every creature and every action, be patient when things don't go the way you want them. First thing, be patient. He will always do what's best for you. And this is why Job said what he did. He understood problems more than anyone. He lost his whole family. He lost his business. He lost his animals. He lost his friends. Look at what he said in Job chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 together. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. We can be thankful whatever happens. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. The Apostle James explained that you who are God's children through Jesus could even look forward for troubles. Say, look forward to troubles. Yes. Because troubles help to develop your character. You grow as a Christian through troubles. James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Maturity comes with troubles. So if you lose your job, or if your computer crashes, or if you get COVID-19, or if you lose your cell phone, or you fail a grade in school, if someone backs into your car in the parking lot this afternoon when going out, if your plans freeze on Tuesday night, remember James 1:2. The testing of your faith produces patience. Second, you must be thankful, number one. Second, because your Heavenly Father providentially rules every creature and every action, be thankful when things go well. Be patient when they go bad. Be thankful when things go well. Don't take credit for what God does. You do well in your career, you get a promotion in your work, your children are growing up and obeying God. Don't take credit for that. Thank God for that. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 says, together, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good which He has given you, for the good land which He has given you." They're going to Canaan, they were not to say, "The sweat of my face, I work hard." You have to realize that God gave them that land, and they needed to thank God for giving them that land. And this really must be part of your everyday lifestyle. Thank God often. Let your children hear you thank God. Yes, we can pray that this blight that is upon us might end and the leaders will be reasonable and godly, but also thank God for other things. You need to balance that. They need to hear that. It's not just about complaining, but remember what God has done. After all, what do you have that you have not received? Everything belongs to God. So patience, then thankfulness, and then number three, because God, your Heavenly Father, providentially rules over every creature and every action, have confidence in God that He will keep you safe forever. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, together, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." You see that phrase? He will not permit the righteous to be moved. Your faith is strong. You got what God knows you need. Yeah, you might lose some things. Yeah, you might lose a job. But your faith can never be taken away. And that's what really matters. I mean, how much do we really need to eat? We need some, but what is it that really matters in life? And this is the God who says, no, I'll give you patience. I want you to be thankful, but I want you to have confidence in me. And you can have confidence in him because he loves you. And you can have confidence in him because he's in heaven. He's got the power. He is willing. He is able. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 says this, together, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint. Why? Because your hope is Jesus Christ. It's not just hope in Jesus, it's that Jesus is your hope. He's the one who will sustain you. And he says your name is registered in heaven. You know, there's nothing worse than going to a hotel and then you find out that they can't find your reservation. What do you do then? Yeah, maybe you can find another one. But he says your name is written in heaven. You've got a reservation there. It will never change. And God sends his Holy Spirit to reassure you that you are his and you are his forever, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus didn't die and then leave you. So you can work, you can live, you can eat, you can marry, you can raise kids. Why? Because God rules. Have confidence. What can separate you from his love? Romans 8, 38 and 39 together. Neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no guarantee that you will be healthy tomorrow. There's no guarantee you will make it home tonight. But what is a guarantee that nothing can separate you from the love of God? Number four, we've covered the three things: patience, thankfulness, confidence. Since God rules the world by his providence, and since you can be patient in trial, and since you can be thankful in prosperity, and since you can be confident in the future, you have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Yeah, you have to work. God commands that as part of your responsibility, but you have no reason to fear. So examine your life. Think about you. Think of you now. Are there things that really make you afraid? Afraid of getting old? Afraid of dying? Afraid of losing your job? Afraid. Not passing your exams? No. Finding the right spouse. Don't fear. The Lord's got this covered for you. And then five, because providence is so dear and so useful, the Apostle Paul used it as an evangelistic tool. It's kind of interesting thing to use as an evangelist tool, because when you think of evangelism, you think of you need to know how great God is, how holy he is, how bad you are, and the work of Jesus Christ. But when Paul was in Athens and discussing with the people, he talked about the sovereignty of God and his providential control over all things. He reminded the Athenians of a Jehovah God. He knew if God's Spirit were working, the doctrine would make non-believers drop to their knees. So don't hide this doctrine. I heard one man say not too long ago, this doctrine makes Christians hide in underground caves because they only want to keep it to themselves. They don't want to discuss this with the world. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at what he said in Acts chapter 17, 24 and 26. Together, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, And he has one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. You know, God even tells us to see how far it can go and no more. That's how great God is. That's what he does to every nation. He makes them and tells how far they can go. You know, technically, if you look at what Hitler was doing in the Second World War, with just a few strokes of a pen and a couple of other decisions, the world would have been a very, very different place. But God is the one who determines when he had enough of Hitler and when he said it was time to stop. That's how the world works. That's the power of God. Let's conclude. What a beautiful doctrine providence is. God the Father, your Father, the one who loves you and cares for you. He rules over every creature and every action, and nothing happens out of his will. And he says, because he loves you, he will always do what is best for you. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, don't fear and don't worry. Know your Father is able to do what he promised to do for you. Be thankful when things go well. Be patient when things don't go well. Keep your confidence in him. Second, don't put pressure on yourself to try to control what you can. If you get COVID or cancer, you will either live or you will die. But you know what? You're still God's child. If you lose your phone, either you'll find it, or you might have to buy another one or live without it, which might not always be a bad idea. But you know what? You always have a permanent line to heaven. And it's prepaid. Jesus paid for the full coverage you have. And it's unlimited. You don't have to worry. If you have a flat tire and you go to work late, what's the worst thing that could happen? Maybe you're fired from your job. But you have your citizenship in heaven. God never fires you. He never terminates that citizenship. So instead of worrying, let this doctrine cause you to worship God and go about your life in peace. And three, teach this doctrine to your children. They're facing many pressures in the world today. Getting schoolwork done, getting jobs, getting married, putting up with mocking by others for believing in God. Remind them that God controls all things, and they have a responsibility to be faithful. But they don't need to be worried, for God will provide for them the things that they truly need. And then fourth, why would you not fear or worry? Because you are the blood-bought children of God through Jesus Christ. That's why you don't need to worry. You're all right. He's got this. And you know, if you do worry, what that means? It's contempt. It's distrust of your Savior. You're saying, yeah, you saved me, but you can't take care of me, so I have to worry. Not good. Be warned. Trust, don't fear. Finally, if you're not a Christian, you have reason to worry. You don't have the promises of God that he will do what is best for you. But you can fix that if you ask God to make you his child on account of his satisfying his wrath in Jesus Christ. Christ died for the sins of all those who will call upon him to be saved. May you call upon him and be saved. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us this reminder today. That you are the God of heaven and earth, who controls every creature, every person, every thought, every action. And because you love us, we don't need to worry then about the future. You loved us and you bought us with the blood of your Son, and you are now satisfied with us because of him. So help us, Father, to go about our life in confidence, free from worry and panic, resting in your loving, providential care. If someone here today is outside of that care, we pray they will call out to you and say, Father, make me your child because of Jesus Christ, and they will be brought into your family and rejoice in the new life they have in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.